Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
So now, Lunchables, bad. The advocacy group Consumer Reports is urging the federal government to remove Lunchables from the national free and reduced price school lunch program after an analysis found high amounts of sodium and elevated levels of heavy metals. They want to remove Lunchables from the national school lunch program and ensure that kids in schools have healthier options. They found high levels of sodium, detected lead and cadmium, and also observed the presence of phthalates, which I guess can impact reproductive health and the human hormonal system. The USDA spokesman said, the department doesn't allow or disallow individual food items. We set requirements for the overall nutritional content of meals on a daily or weekly basis. So the Lunchables described in the article would need to be paired with fruit, vegetables, and milk. In addition, a school who wanted to serve a higher sodium product one day has to balance that with lower sodium items on others. Kraft Heinz was like, whoa, wait a second. All of our products meet strict safety standards, and that lead and cadmium occur naturally in the environment and may show up in food at low levels. We are proud of Lunchables and to stand by the quality and integrity that goes into making them. Of course you do. There was no mention from Kraft Heinz, at least in the statement that I saw, about the phthalates, which they found a presence of, according to them, impact reproductive health and human hormonal systems. Interesting. Consumer Reports says two varieties of Lunchables are currently served as part of the school lunch programs, the turkey and cheddar cracker stackers, which are pretty good. And they also tested extra cheesy pizza, which I'm not necessarily a fan of. The group tested store-bought versions of those varieties and found that they had 74% and 69% of the California lead maximum. Consumer Reports said it used California's threshold for lead as a benchmark for testing rather than the federal limit because, hey, California standard is currently the most protective. Okay. They tested 12 meal kits in total, including Lunchables of other brands, and found at least one type of phthalate in every kit except the extra cheesy pizza variety. Okay, so the turkey and cheese variety in schools has 930 milligrams of sodium compared to 740 milligrams found in commercially available kits. And the pizza has 700 milligrams of sodium, and the options sold in stores had 510 milligrams. To be clear, none of these amounts exceeded any legal limit for lead in food, which Kraft Heinz, of course, emphasizes in its statement. All of our products tested well below the acceptable limits. And there is no recall of Lunchables right now. There's a petition that wants to pull them from the nation's school lunch program. So you go ahead and make your own choice. But be ready for your kids to be enjoying those bugs for school lunch programs because it's all about their health. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Oh my. Who died today? Who died today? So I'm looking at a post on X on the OJ Simpson account, and it reads on April 10th. If you're listening live, today is the 11th of April, 2024. So yesterday, April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. Wow, O.J. Simpson, dead at the age of 76. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. signed the Simpson family. Holy cow, O.J. Simpson, dead at the age of 76. Now, he hasn't posted anything on X since the Super Bowl, so he hasn't been well. But prior to the Super Bowl, a couple of days before the Super Bowl, he posted this.
Hey, X-World. Hospice? Hospice? You talking about hospice? No, I'm not in any hospice. I don't know who put that out there, but whoever put that out there, I guess it's like the Donald Say. Came to the media. In any event, I'm hosting a ton of friends for the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. All is well, you know? So, hey, guys, take care. Have a good Super Bowl weekend.
All right. We will, OJ. No problem. That was February 9th. So the word was out that he was not well. But 2 days later, the day of the Super Bowl, he posted this.
Hey, X-World, it's me, yours truly. Boy, what a beautiful day it is here in Las Vegas. Even though the game is indoors, it wouldn't matter. But still, it's nice to have a beautiful day like this.
Yes.
Let me take a moment to say thank you to all the people who've reached out to me. My health is good. I mean, obviously, I'm dealing with some issues.
Oh, okay, issues.
But, hey, I think I'm just about over it, and I'll be back on that golf course, hopefully, in a couple of weeks. But it was very nice hearing from you and hearing those good, positive words. Thank you.
And then he goes on to talk about the Super Bowl. Obviously, he's wearing his 49ers jersey, and he, you know, is a San Francisco guy for the Super Bowl. That was February 11th, the day of the Super Bowl. Now, the reason that everybody was concerned about him or saying that he was in hospice is that he was diagnosed with prostate cancer in February, the same month as the Super Bowl there early on in February, which he talked about saying that he obviously has issues. And so then obviously it was worse than everyone thought. And it wasn't too long until we find out that he passed away yesterday on the 10th of April, 2024. I do remember he died from prostate cancer, by the way. If it was that, they would have said something. I mean, sure, he bragged about getting safely medicated with the vaccine, but that's it. Sure, he got one, but that didn't have anything to do with him actually getting prostate cancer and then dying. That would be stupid. O.J. Simpson, rest in peace, dead at the age of 76. You know, the other day, before the sentencing took place, we talked about it and we didn't realize, you know, how long the family was going to get sentenced. James and Jennifer Crumbly in Michigan, the parents of Ethan Crumbly, who was shot up the school. They were convicted of involuntary manslaughter in their son Ethan's deadly shooting at Oxford High School in 2021. Wow. I find that amazing. They're the first parents ever to be charged, then convicted in their child's mass shooting at a U.S. school where they were sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison after they faced, you know, all the victims. And I'm very sorry for these parents. I would never wish that on anyone. Not a single person. But it happened, and Ethan is in prison for it. I find it really difficult to be okay with putting the parents of a child that did this in prison. Just really, really bad in my eyes. I know that doesn't make them nice people. Doesn't mean they were great. You know, I get it. We want to blame someone, but we did blame. We blamed the shooter, the person who did it. And it most definitely isn't the school's fault, right? I mean, the day before the shooting, a teacher said she found a note on Ethan's desk with a drawing of a gun and the person who had been shot, along with messages, including "the thoughts won't stop, help me." So the school then called the parents for a meeting, but officials testified that they declined to bring him home because they had to go back to work. Sorry, I get it. The officials also said that if the parents had informed them that their son had access to a gun, they would have been more authoritative and to ensure immediate safety. I mean, I guess we believe him, but I don't know that that's true. So then he went on to shoot people later in the afternoon, killing Baldwin, Schilling, Tamar, and Hannah, and Juliana. It's just sad. Hannah St. Giuliani, she was 14. Tate Meyer was 16. The whole thing is sad. The whole thing is terrible. And I feel so sorry for the parents of them. Obviously, I feel sorry for the kids. Jeez, they didn't deserve any of it. But, I mean, we're putting the parents of children who committed a crime in jail. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And I'm probably wrong. I know. We've got to take care of those parents that aren't taking care of those little bastards that are running around. Take responsibility. Where are the parents? I know. I understand. I get it. But my gosh, at some point, we have to believe in personal responsibility, and blaming the children for the sins of the father. Now we're blaming, blaming parents for their children's sins. And I don't know what age we cut that off. I mean, Ethan was, I think, 16 at the time. He's now 17, and he pleaded guilty as an adult. He's in prison. I don't know. The whole thing is sad. You can quote me on that. The whole thing is just sad. You know what else would be sad? Is if you went somewhere and needed some medication and weren't able to get it. Just like it was back during the pandemic, today we're facing drug and medical supply shortages here in the United States. As of March, there were more than 200 drug shortages here, and it's looking like it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets any better. Healthcare experts have pointed to shortages, domestic production, and the Drug Supply Chain Security Act as trends to watch this year. You wouldn't want to think that things like this could happen here in America, but we've been seeing it for literally years now. This is why you should have a Jace case. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. All you have to do is fill out a simple form, and you'll have it there, ready in case you need it. There are dozens of add-on options as well, like EpiPens and ivermectin. Jace Medical is empowering people just like you to be able to take your family's health into your own hands. Check them out today. You don't want to be somewhere and not have your medications. Go to jacemedical.com. You can enter the code Jeffy at checkout for a discount on your order. Promo code Jeffy at jacemedical.com. Promo code Jeffy for that discount on your order at checkout. JaseMedical.com. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. So I did Pat Gray's Overtime on Blaze TV today, and if you have a chance, you can go back and watch it. We played the new trailer that just dropped of Joker 2, Filet au Deux, with Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga, and it looks really, really good. We played it on Blaze TV, Pat Gray Unleashed Overtime. I was a little concerned that it might not be, up to par. That was a mistake. Todd Phillips is the director. Some of the shots just in the trailer were awesome. I mean, he had a budget of a couple hundred million, so it's going to be really, really good. Joaquin decided that this is the, I've never reprised a role that I've done. So, you know what? I'm going to do Joker again. So you only paid me about $4.5-5 million last time. I need $20 million for part two. And they gave it to him. And Gaga got $12 million to come in. And it's just as Harley Quinn. And she, what looked awesome in the trailer. I know it's just a trailer. I got it. A couple of minutes, 2.5 minutes, something like that. It looked really good. I'm really looking forward to it. Although we have to wait till October. October 10/4/24 is the release date. I'm not quite sure I understand that. But okay, you know, whatever. We're here. Well, we're waiting for it. We'll be ready for Filet à Deux. I don't think it's filet. It's not filet à deux. I don't know if I said filet or not. Well, that's what I was thinking. So, filet à deux. Then we get news from Margot Robbie and her company. And I was reading this, and I'm not sure that Margot is going to be in it. But it's her company, Lucky Chap, and her partners, Tom Ackerley and Jose McNamara, are producing a live-action feature film based on Monopoly. Hasbro Entertainment is going to help with the production as well. So I guess, you know, why would you have to make this movie without Margot Robbie in it? Hello, she's the draw. So they're in development for the board game. According to the studio, Monopoly is the world's most popular board game brand. 99% global awareness. It's available in more than 100 countries across the globe, selling nearly 500 million copies going back to 1935. Wow. I mean, who gets to play Uncle Pennybags? Who gets to be the shoe, the horse? I don't know. I do not have a Margot Robbie game piece. I'm willing to have one. I mean, I've always loved Monopoly. I've played it for years. I know it's, you know, it can be, you know, elongated and take forever, but there are shortcuts that you can take to shorten it up. And, it would be funny. Maybe that's what they're going to do with the movie. They start out and then they find shortcuts and work it out. I don't know. I don't know how you make... I haven't been in any of the talks. I have some ideas of what it might be. But amazingly, they have not reached out. So if Margot and her company or Lucky Chap or Hasbro Entertainment... You know, reach out. I'm here for you. You can email me, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. You can reach out to me on X at JeffyJFR. You can reach out to me on Instagram, Jeff Fisher Radio. You can reach out to me on Facebook, Jeff Fisher Radio. You can reach out to me on my YouTube channel, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. Or you can just email me anytime, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. And I'm willing to sit down with Margot or Lucky Chap's partners or Hasbro Entertainment and just throw some ideas out there. Okay? I am here for you. Can we chat a little bit about Kevin Costner? I am a huge fan. I've made no bones about that. I love Kevin Costner's work. I don't know what kind of guy he is. You know, whatever. Kevin and I, again, we haven't hung out. Kevin. you can email me. You can reach out to me on the social media accounts if you want to hang out. We'll get together. I'm happy to do that for you. But, so Kevin does an interview with Entertainment Tonight. And he's hawking his new Horizon and American Saga, which looks good. It looks a lot like what Taylor Sheridan's been doing. Over there as far as Yellowstone and 1883 and 1920. Yeah, more 1883-ish, but, you know, it's Taylor Sheridan-ish. Bash Reeves, that kind of thing. It looks like Taylor Sheridan, but it's called Horizon American Saga. And I know he's got a couple of films coming out, one's coming out in summer and one's coming out in fall, Horizon 1, Horizon 2, however he's running that process. And he's in this interview, he says, oh, yeah, you know, we all know about the issues that he had with filming. And then, of course, they had the strike. So we know that Yellowstone is going to be back up season 5, part 2 in November of this year, or it's supposed to anyway. And he's in the interview. You know, I'd like to be able to do Yellowstone, but we haven't been able to. Wait, what? Kevin, okay, I know you're trying to rewrite history a little bit, and you want everybody to believe that you're a good guy, and we still do, but let's not rewrite history with the Johnny, because those shows are already done. There's only a couple of ways that the beginning of season 5, part 2, can begin, right? John Dutton, which is Kevin Costner's character, either has to die or he has to be gone away on some African hunting trip, or he's on a cruise somewhere and can't be reached, which no one would believe. So the only way that we can, you know, maybe John paid a bunch of money and went to space and he's living on the ISS. And look, we can see Dad now when you go out on the back 40 and there's the ISS passing over the country. And look, now we can almost make out Dad looking down on us. We can do that, or he dies. And we have flashbacks of what happened. We have flashbacks, you know, they all have their little flashbacks of the funeral and what happened and how he died and who found him. And, you know, the process of Yellowstone still continues, because this is it. They're done at the end of this. They've created a new Yellowstone offshoot that's supposed to start filming. But this, the Yellowstone anchor, is done. I really thought it would be, I'd planned on doing 7 seasons. And I thought we could still, you know, work this out. And somewhere along the line, they wanted to change things. They wanted to change things. Oh, okay. All right. Now, you know, they talk about, I tried to break the log jam, and then they walked away. So it's all on them. It was had nothing to do with Kevin whatsoever. Oh, okay. So I'm a fan of Kevin. And, you know, am I going to see Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1 and Chapter 2? You bet. It's probably going to be really, really awesome. Like I said, one comes out in June, one comes out in August. I mean, he's talking about, I don't know, Horizon, an American Saga. I'm sorry, Saga. It's not Horizon, an American Sega. It's Horizon, an American Saga. And he's talking about having, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 parts to Horizon. Okay. And he's invested a bunch of money, his money, into it. So it's got to be successful. And I'm sure that it will be. But to rewrite the history of Yellowstone and say, oh, I wanted it to come back, and maybe we could still work something out. And, you know, all those rumors about me and Taylor, although he doesn't comment about that. I just, you know, I hope it does. You know, I'd like to be able to do Yellowstone, but we haven't been able to. And I thought we were going to make 7 seasons, but you know, what are you gonna do, Kevin? Come on now, just promote the stuff you got going on and say it was a shame we couldn't end Yellowstone the way I thought it could end, but we just couldn't get together. Thanks for showing up. Let's talk about Horizon. Don't try to just blame it all on them. Now, I did not know this was such a big deal, but the Dune popcorn bucket, I know that it was viral, and you know, I read about the SNL skit. I haven't watched SNL in a while, but I see their clips from time to time, and I know that Kimmel did a bit on the Dune popcorn bucket. But it's kind of cool. It's you know, it looks like one of the sandworms, or it resembles a sandworm, and when you reach into the bucket, your hand has to graze through the creature's plastic teeth to get your popcorn. I kind of like it. And, you know, coming out with these specific popcorn buckets, you know, I put in parentheses or quotation marks, collector's edition popcorn buckets. Uh-huh. And so, I mean, this house is no, we do have some of those. But I didn't realize that it was, you know, such a big deal. Then I see a quote from AMC's chief content officer, knows what you've been saying about the theater chain's popcorn buckets, and the executive admitted that the internet's raunchy response to its Dune-themed bucket was unexpected. Oh, really? Really? Yeah. It's a collectible bucket. It makes up a small part of AMC's food and beverage sales. Yeah, I bet. Because you still have to pay a whole bunch more money. Not only are you paying $1 million for the food. Oh, did you want the collector's bucket too? The limited edition collector's bucket? That'll be $1.5 million. I mean, they charge a fortune for it. So, we got it. No, there's no reason for you to comment. Just say we love that it's that it's taken off, that it went viral, and we're glad that everyone either liked it or mocked it. It's a good thing. Thank you for purchasing our product, and please come back to AMC. So congratulations, I guess, are in order. We do have someone who stepped up, one person in Oregon, who said, hey, I'm the winner of the $1.326 billion Powerball jackpot. So congratulations. Wow, that would be sweet. Now, what would also, it'd be sweet knowing that you have the ticket, if it's the real ticket. They are saying, yeah, okay, congratulations, and but we're not getting your money just yet, okay? Wait, what? Here's the ticket. Yeah, we got to check some things. Really? I mean, this drawing was, I guess, marred by some 3-hour delay after some participating lottery needed additional time to complete required pre-draw procedures. Oh, okay. So, they always come back with, well, the rules require every single ticket sold be checked and verified against 2 different computer systems. I know. And this is done to ensure that every ticket sold for the Powerball drawing has been accounted for and has an equal chance to win. And we had one jurisdiction that needs extra time to complete the pre-draw process. That's what we were waiting on. So this guy came forward, or this person, came forward. We don't know if it was a guy or a girl. We just know that they came forward and said, yo, I've got the ticket here. So they say now we're working with the ticket holder. The process involves security measure and vetting that will take time before a winner can be announced. Now, there's a few exceptions. I don't know what those exceptions are, but it says here in the story, with few exceptions, winning players in Oregon cannot remain anonymous. Yeah, I mean, you got to tell who won. You have to. I want to know what the exceptions are. Okay, well, the Oregon Lottery says that there's no way you cannot remain anonymous, period. Name of the winner, amount of the prize, date of the drawing, name of the game played, and city in which the winning ticket was purchased is public record. Interesting. But there is a story out here that says that one of the exceptions would be if a winner lives in a domestic violence situation. Huh. Okay, well, nothing is known about this particular winner, but I guess you could say, yeah, hey, I live in a domestic violence situation. I don't want people to know who I am. I mean, you just create a corporation and then the corporation picks up the ticket. Duh. Makes you just get your ducks in a row and then go collect your money. The owner, of course, it was sold at Plaid Pantry in Northeast Portland, and they're all happy, and they're happy because the store gets $100,000 from the lottery. Maybe, okay, so they get $100,000 from Oregon Lottery. Maybe it's a Powerball thing where you can remain anonymous if you're a victim of spousal abuse. So congratulations to the person, place, or thing that came in and won the $1.3 billion Powerball. That would be sweet. You can still, the next Powerball drawing, if you're listening live again, today is the 11th. So the next Powerball drawing is Saturday the 13th. And that's for $46 million jackpot, 21.5 cash payout. And the Mega Millions is Friday the 12th at $120 million with 55.8 as the cash payout. I would take that, but the $1.3 billion would have been sweet. Oh, shoot. You know what other thing that would have been sweet? I could have gotten a free goat. I could have gotten a free goat. I don't know that they would have sent it to me. But there's a remote Italian island overrun by wild goats. And they offered to give the animals away to anyone willing to take one. So I had until yesterday to say, hey, I'll take a few goats from you, or as many as I wanted. Apparently, there was no number that they were against. There was no cap on how many goats he would give you. The Adopt a Goat initiative was deemed to be the best way of managing the issue in the most compassionate way, because they said there's no way they're culling him. Okay, they started counting the goats, and they estimated that this island, Elicudi, the smallest of Sicily's Aeolian archipelago, was six times the island's year-round population. So there was way too many goats, is what the answer is. So I was just giving them away. And I would have said, hey, mayor, I'll take some goats from you. What do you say? And they could be chewing the fat goats, but I only had until yesterday. Ah, gosh darn it. I would have, man, I could use nothing I want more in my life than a bunch of Italian island goats roaming around. No, seriously. Okay, so we have this Italian island that has way too many goats on it, but you know, I missed my chance, my opportunity to get my free goats. Maybe, I mean, if I reach out, maybe they'll extend the deadline. But now I also see where there's a tiny island, this Marion Island off of South Africa, or off the continent of Africa, way out there. The Marion Island, it's an uninhabited territory of South Africa. It's home to numerous seabird species, and now there's too many mice. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count, on to why there's too many mice. You guessed it, climate change. But that doesn't stop them. We're not, we don't care, we've got to destroy the mice, because the island is globally significant, is it? Because it has 30 bird species and a rare undisturbed habitat. Well, I guess it's not undisturbed now because of mice, for wandering albatrosses. You think they could take care of themselves, you know, the wandering albatrosses with the 10-foot wingspan and a whole bunch more. So the island, I guess, was undisturbed until a stowaway mice arrived on seal hunter ships in the early 1800s. And that was the beginning of the end. The past few decades have been the most significant for the damage the mice have caused. You know why? Yeah, rising temperatures from climate change has turned a cold, wind-swept island into a warmer, drier, more hospitable home. And they're probably one of the most successful animals in the world. They've got all sorts of places. Their breeding season has been extended, and this has resulted in a massive increase in the densities of mice. They don't need any encouragement, because mice are taking care of business. Now, they say they're going to get rid of the mice, or at least try to get rid of most of them, by some sort of poisoning. I would say you go in. I know it's an undisturbed albatross nesting area, but maybe you just... And then once the fire burns out, the birds will move back. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but maybe you just, I don't know, send one of those whale ships or seal hunting ships by. You know what you could do? You could send a Houthi pirate. It's quite a ways for them to go. But you send a Houthi pirate ship along with Houthis, and you send them out to the island, and then you just let them. And the birds should just fly around until the fire comes out, and then they'll come back and nest, and no worries. I'm surprised they haven't asked for my help. You know, speaking of animals, it's been an animal-driven show so far today. We've had goats, and we've had mice, and now we're going to talk about, well, overall pets. Could be dogs, could be cats, could be birds, could be anything. If you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the DFW area, and you have a tattoo that you regret, PetSmart is offering a way for you to get covered up in celebration of its new Treats Rewards Loyalty Program. A new survey found that 49% of pet parents have or know someone who has a tattoo they regret. However, a majority of those with regrets would not regret a tattoo of their pet. So PetSmart is turning regrets into pets. Get it? And giving pet parents a reminder of their pet's unconditional love. So you have until April 30th. And if you have a tattoo regret, you share a photo and a story of their regretted tattoo at PetSmartTattooRedo.com. PetSmartTattooRedo.com. Winners will receive a tattoo cover-up, Alium Tattoo Studio, plus the cost of travel to Los Angeles. I guess there isn't a tattoo artist here in DFW. So if you already have a pet tattoo, upload a photo of existing pet tattoos. We'd love to use it for free and promote our event. They don't say that. They just say upload a photo of existing pet tattoos. So at PetSmartTattooRedo.com, you can be upgraded to a VIPP, a very important pet parent status in the Treats Reward Program. And wow, does that sound good. That's kind of cool. They're going to fly out to LA from DFW. I would say if you have a tat that you want removed and that you're unhappy with, you could probably, I don't know, send a pic in and tell them you live in DFW. And for a fee, I don't know how much Alium Tattoo Studios charges for a tattoo to cover up your, or to put your pet on a tattoo that you already have, but I'm willing to give you an address, or you just come up with some fake address here in DFW and say you live there. I don't know if you need an ID or not to win this, but good luck. Congratulations. I'm sure you do. I'm sure this is going to happen all around the country now, but for now, it's specifically for DFW area, the PetSmart Treats Rewards Loyalty Program, and you can turn that tattoo regret into your pet. That's not the saying, though. What the heck was the saying? Oh, yeah. Turn regrets into pets. Good luck. Good luck. And I'll leave you with a joke of the day. Kind of ties in. It's into our animal theme here today on Chewing the Fat. The joke of the day, and it's actually just kind of a helpful hint of the day as well. Go to the animal shelter for a dog, and you're a hero. Go to a woman's shelter for a girlfriend, and everyone loses their minds. Right? Facts are facts.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.